kiss.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line, plenty of text to get to here, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with me, your show host, the text line works the best. Still to come, Dale Jackson, that's in about an hour from now from WVNN, Yellhammer News. And then our good friend in the 11 o'clock hour, former state senator Dick Brubaker, who will have, I'm sure, very insightful, biting wit and insightful commentary coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, we do this every other Monday. Always a pleasure to bring on my good friend, State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeffrey. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're weathering the storm here 2 weeks in. There's been some notable moments, but how you feeling this far into the session?
Not bad. You know, everything seems to be moving a lot faster than normal. So, you know, hopefully we're getting some stuff accomplished and getting on track to, you know, have a productive session and maybe get out of there a little bit early if possible.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like to me, too, as well. Hey, I guess the thing that's most interesting to me, at least as far as you're concerned, was this, it was that Ernie Yarborough bill in the House Judiciary Committee last week, and the schedule laid it out for our listeners, allows law enforcement to enter into a voluntarily memorandum of understanding with federal law enforcement on immigration issues. And it drew a lot of pushback, which to me the whole point and their idea of pushback was based on, well, we can't trust you local guys to enforce the federal law. And I, you know, guys like you are like just right, you know, sitting right there and being maligned by these people. Like, what did you make of it? What do you think of the proposal?
Well, I think the bill's a good deal. We passed it out of the committee last year, just did not get through the Senate. But, you know, I think that they're, as always, the Democrats are overplaying it and trying to, you know, make it into something it's not. This is nothing other than a mutual aid agreement that would allow the local, state, and county officials to work with ICE when necessary in our communities. It's not going to be a major change to what we're already doing or seeing in our country as it is. But this is going to be like a checks and balances to put in place to make sure these bad actors, these bad, extremely violent immigrants that are here are not going to slip through the cracks and be able to kill people like Lake and Riley. You know, we have got to have some checks and balances in place to help with this, and that's all this bill does. That's all this bill is, and to make it anything other than that is just totally wrong.
Well, you know, I was, if you're there to try to stop the bill, you're trying to impart your wisdom on the House Judiciary Committee there, and you're in a red t-shirt or whatever it is, and essentially maybe you just don't read the room right. But my takeaway, the biggest pushback was, well, we just can't trust our local law enforcement to do this, which is, and I mean, that seemed to be the message to me. Now, some of it, I thought Matt Simpson did really, really well in that committee last week. But some of it to me is just like a misunderstanding of the law, making hyperbolic statements that you're being, that probable cause is now the color of someone's skin and things of that nature. But to me, when you say that the law enforcement camp here in Alabama, you could trust them on everything else, but this is very misguided.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Representative Simpson did an awesome job in articulating and defending our local law enforcement and also, you know, pointing out aspects of the bill. So, yeah, I mean, it's disheartening when people get up there and they're totally trying to paint a false narrative and trying to, I guess, go after not only the ICE agents, but our local law enforcement. And we have a you know, very professional, sharp, squared away law enforcement in Alabama, and we're really supported by our communities, which says a lot. And I think that for some of these, and some of the speakers were actually from out of state, even from like Washington, D.C., to come in there and try to talk on our law enforcement here is, you know, very not very accurate. So I think that, you know, we're just going to have that type rhetoric come in on these type bills, and people are going to try to turn it into something it's not. They're going to try to pit law enforcement against our communities, which ain't happening here in Alabama. We're going to continue to support our citizens, and our citizens in return are going to support our law enforcement. We've got a great thing here, and we're going to keep it going.
There's another bill. Jamie Kill's got a bill, and we were talking about it. It's this idea. So, and I, you know, you're from your law enforcement perspective, when you pull somebody over and you find that they're not, they don't have a driver's license. And a lot of times, I don't know how it operates in your jurisdiction, but a lot of times the officer will just let that person go or whatever. But what I understand is that he wants to make it where if you're, you know, whatever pulled over and is, you're found not to be, you're operating your motor vehicle without a license, then he wants to give the local jurisdiction the ability to have the automobile towed, which seems like a no-brainer to me. But that's something I'm surprised isn't already on the books.
Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome piece of legislation. And, you know, there again, going back to checks and balances, trying to make sure that we're not allowing people that, you know, if you've not gone through the proper process to get a driver's license and insurance and everything, that we're not just allowing those people to get out and drive and cause wrecks and damage to other people's vehicles that, you know, are ultimately going to be have to handle by the victim. So, yeah, it's a good bill. I'm looking forward to seeing it pass, and I think it's going to do a lot of good for the law enforcement in our state.
Another bill. You're sponsoring this. I'm looking at it right now, House Bill 254. This was a big deal here maybe about 6-7 months ago. But the Aaliyah and the gripes, we were hearing that there was just, I guess, indiscriminatory, you know, going after boats, especially out on the coastal waters here. And you got a, I guess, a bill that would tighten up some of the language when it comes to probable cause.
Yeah, this has been an ongoing complaint and issue from citizens ever since I've been elected to the legislature. And basically, the citizens are complaining that the Marine Police are able to stop their vessel without probable cause, whether they're not doing anything or not. They're able to board their vessel and search their vessel for any kind of inspections without any kind of probable cause, and it's held up people. It's really been a nuisance and a problematic area for as long as I can remember. I've had the bill for about 3 years now, you know, continuously worked on it. I do believe we've got enough momentum to get the bill passed this year. And all the bill does is require that the Marine Police have probable cause to stop a vessel and to search a vessel, just like law enforcement would have to have a reason to stop you and a reason to search your vehicle. It just puts them in line with the patrol units that patrol the land now.
Well, tell me, like, are the rules different for the Marine Police than they are, you know, the state troopers or whoever it may be? Is there, you know, do you operate on a different standard, I suppose?
Yeah, as of right now, there are two different sets of rules for the, I guess you would say, the regular patrol troopers and the Marine Police troopers. This is going to put that in line. The Marine Police troopers have been using a Coast Guard rule to, you know, utilize that to board vessels and do inspections, which would allow them to search through every compartment, go through everything in your boat, your vessel, and hold you there as long as, you know, they needed to do this. So it's this is just going to say, just like if you're in your vehicle, no different in your boat. If you're doing something wrong, the trooper has probable cause to stop you, they can. If there's reason or probable cause for them to search your vessel, they can do that. Other than that, they will, you'll be treated just like you would if you were in your vehicle.
Yeah, so it's going to raise the standard. And you think, because I think this, I mean, it got a lot of attention. Tony Cannon down at Orange Beach talked a lot about it. I think even Mayor Collier down at Dolphin Island heard about it from him. And then a lot of our listeners really gripe about it. But it sounds like this one may have momentum because of that.
Yeah, and absolutely. As I've gone around and explained the bill to my colleagues in the House, and almost, I'd say a third of the members have had a experience like this on the water and feel like there's time for change. And so I got about 25 co-sponsors, but literally could have gotten probably 50 or more co-sponsors, and that is Republican and Democrat that feel that this needs to be addressed and cleaned up.
Joined by Shane Stringer, he's a state lawmaker from Citronelle. I guess next week's going to be the week here, and I don't know if you've heard. I'm assuming that it's going to be standard operating procedure, that the weather isn't going to disrupt next week, tell me, the Simpson Weaver bill with the death penalty and child sex predators, that looks like that is going to be, I guess, that is going to be the topic of the week, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a needed bill, and I think you're going to see it, you know, hopefully fly through both chambers and get it on to the governor for her signature. So much needed. You know, we have got to stop sitting back and just letting these predators abuse our children. And basically, you know, it ain't just a one-time event, man. This actually mentally destroys these kids forever, and we have got to try to protect them and make this hopefully where nobody's doing this.
Yeah, and the way Representative Simpson talks, I mean, it happens more than we realize. He's a prosecutor, and he probably sees as more aware of it. But, you know, he had this bill last year, but it wasn't until after Sonny died that the what happened up in Bibb County went down, and that put more of an emphasis on it. And, you know, the governor mentioned it in her State of the State address. We've heard a lot of buzz about it. But to me, now this is why this has got the attention that it does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad it's got the momentum and looking forward to, you know, voting on it. And hopefully we can get it passed through and put this in law and, you know, just do another step toward protecting our children.
Well, and then you get past that, and to me, that's, like I said, that sounds like that's going to be the big, at least the marquee legislation early on. The other one, maybe you get a Supreme Court decision later on in the session, and then you guys would, what I understand, at least from Senator Gudger upstairs, maybe even not a hurry-up offense at the close of this session, maybe something later on in a special session.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, a lot of moving parts going on in Montgomery, and we're just, you know, leadership's doing a lot of things behind the scenes that we're not aware of immediately. They do have meetings to update us as things change, and so we're just sitting back, you know, doing our jobs, going through committee meetings, and doing all of the stuff that we do lining up to get this legislation passed, and we're just wait to hear from our leadership.
Well, and you know, that redistricting stuff is probably for people in this district, but I you know, a big deal. But I we had qualifying, and oh, by the way, congratulations on the qualifying, no opponent means you'll likely be reelected in November. But I mean, that would throw the election cycle into a little bit of disarray, I think.
Yeah, it possibly could. So, you know, I guess we're kind of paying attention to that and a lot of other stuff, see what's going on. But yeah, thank you on the, you know, running unopposed. We were extremely humbled and appreciative to our district and all the love and support that we've gotten from everyone. So we hopefully will just continue to try to represent our people and do everything we can to make sure we're getting representation in Montgomery.
8 years isn't enough for you, huh, Representative?
Well, I guess not. I guess we'll give it one more term and go from there. But, you know, it's taken time to get wrapped around everything, get some good committee assignments, and be able to get some things for our district. And we're going to do the maximum benefit that we can do to help protect our communities.
Well, clearly you're in good shape if your constituents seem to think you're doing a good job if you're running unopposed. But, hey, we got to get out of here, get a break. But thanks for hopping on. I'll catch up with you this week, but we'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great, man. Y'all have a great day.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, Mr., many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me Mr. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Drifter, can you?